there's talks of like creating fake accounts and trying to tell these girls that there's liking each other and things like that. And then there's a whole team of kids just kind of going against this one kid, and it's all being done through social media. And then being brought into the classroom where they're confronting each other. It has obviously led to actual physical fights, not just verbal, you know, altercations and things like that. It's a brand new day.
We've heard from several perspectives regarding social media use at school, but who better to talk about their experience than someone on the front lines, a middle school teacher. We are happy to welcome Casey to the show. Casey, will you tell us a little bit about your journey as an educator?
Yes, of course. I have an elementary degree, so that actually early childhood elementary, which spans from birth up to sixth grade. I've taught 12 years in classrooms. I subbed a bit here and there, and I've been an instructional aide as well. So in the past, I've like been a classroom teacher in pre-K classroom, first grade and second grade, and now I teach sixth grade math at a middle school, so working with primarily sixth graders, but there's seventh and eighth graders also in the building.
How would you say you typically interact and engage with social media personally and professionally?
So personally, I would say mainly, if we're going like through the span of my life even, would typically be just Facebook. But then there's been some others that I've kind of gone through, I guess, stages of using, and probably as they have come out and been popular. So I've kind of gone through like using Pinterest. I've planned a lot of my own children's birthday parties by using Pinterest or using Instagram. And most recently, I'm definitely on the TikTok bandwagon. So I watch videos and follow creators for topics that I'm just interested in, such as like teaching, cookie decorating, mom-related content. There's just so many sides of TikTok that I kind of feel like I learn from, and just entertainment, obviously, as well. Sometimes watching like live streams. And then I think you said professionally too, but professionally, I would say like my team of teachers, we have like a Facebook page that our parents will invite our parents to follow it. And then we'll post pictures of things that happen in the classroom from time to time. And I also feel like I've gotten ideas professionally for my classroom from whether it be a TikTok video, Pinterest, or Facebook as well even. And then I guess going back to the personally on Facebook, I kind of post updates or like good news about life happenings and share pictures of just kind of like life and kids with those that I'm friends with on Facebook. So,
okay. Yeah. And that's great. A great use of social media that you're interacting with your parents and they can kind of see what's going on with school. But TikTok,
yeah,
it
for
is.
Sure. They love it.
It is amazing. I mean, you can get sucked in the rabbit hole, but there are so many math videos on TikTok that are just intriguing.
Oh my gosh,
when I start watching them, I'm like, whoa, awesome.
Yeah. And then I'm like, I got to show my students that, or my own children. Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, cookies also. I mean, got to love cookies.
Decorating sugar cookies, baby.
That's right. So, Casey, what are some of the ways you've seen social media and digital devices work well in the classroom with your students?
Yeah, so I feel like they get, like it gives students kind of easier accessibility and convenience in a lot of ways. We use a platform called Clever, which I know probably a lot of districts use, but it gives them access to all of the kind of like websites they use at school with just like a click of the button, and it logs them on through their Google account and just gives them really easy access to all that rather than having to enter all that information in for each different website or remembering all of that. I feel like it also allows for easier differentiation a lot of times if you have students that are ready to kind of get bumped up higher or even those that are lower and kind of need to be caught up. And accommodations are great, especially for those kids like with IEPs. The text-to-speech feature and just all those kinds of things that allow for easy accommodations for kiddos. It also, like for me, we use a platform at my school on my team that allows for really awesome like immediate feedback, which I feel like can be so beneficial for students. So they turn in something of their math and I immediately see that they turned it in, can type feedback and say, hey, you did this one thing wrong, and kind of give them that feedback of like, go and revise this, or like, hey, you're good to go to move on to the next thing. So that's just a few ways that I think I've seen it.
What is that program called?
So we use Summit in half of our school. It's okay. Kind of confusing, but like one team in each grade level will use it. And then the other half of the school uses Canvas, which I feel like is very similar. So if you're having kids turn things on Canvas, which is more widely used, Summit is not really in our area that much, but we use it here at the middle school in my district and then at the high school as well. So yeah, but Canvas also has that same ability where when we were teaching remotely, kids would turn stuff in on there, and same thing, I could kind of give them that immediate feedback, give it back to them, and kind of do that back and forth until they are able to, you know, have that understanding. So
have you ever personally witnessed students get cyberbullied or experience some type of negative experience via social media or classroom devices?
Absolutely. We don't allow this year any social media use. It's pretty, they don't use social media at school, but they, a lot of it's happening at home, at night, over weekends, and it's definitely brought into school to where you'll have a student crying and you're wondering, or, you know, just being emotional in any way. And it's like, kind of like, we know something's going on, what's going on. And then through just talking to them, they will share it. Yes, they will have like screenshots of things being said to them or their friend. Like they will come and report it to us. And just recently, I'd say there's the student that there's talks of like creating fake accounts and trying to tell these girls that there's liking each other and things like that. And then there's a whole team of kids just kind of going against this one kid, and it's all being done through social media and then being brought into the classroom where they're confronting each other. It has obviously led to actual physical fights, not just verbal, you know, altercations and things like that. So absolutely, lots of those things happening. And that's just this year. And years past, there's been plenty of it as well.
Thank you for sharing. I know that must be hard when, you know, you're trying to teach math and you're dealing with these issues that are happening outside of school.
Absolutely.
Just kind of a follow-up for that. Does your district or your school have plans in place for like disciplinary action when those things come from home, especially, or even if they're happening at school?
So yes, great question. They are not actually, if it's happening at home and they don't have, I guess you could say, proof of it and things like that, it's kind of just a, we're having a conversation with you, please stop situation, because it's something that's happening at home. If it's posted, if the video is taken or a picture is taken on school grounds, things like that, then there's a whole zero tolerance with bullying and yes, consequences and suspensions or whatever, however, you know, whichever road they need to take, depending on how bad it is.
Have you seen the trend in over the years, just kind of thinking how we're transitioning almost fully digital, do you see that a lot of the disciplinary action stems from the digital devices or social media?
So I would say in years past, that would be an automatic yes, because of mostly phones being in the classroom, things like that, or things leading to from home leading into school. This year, I'd say almost all the teachers at my school are very, very excited that we have more of a zero tolerance with phones being in classrooms and even in the hallways, which has, I think, made a tremendous difference in that. You still see we're one-to-one with Chromebooks, so you still do have some things happening there, whether it's cheating or things like that. But I would say it's definitely gotten away from that, leaning less towards that in terms of the disciplinary things happening with the phones being like a more of a zero tolerance. Because that just changed, you still have kids that have them out. And then, yes, they're being written up for phone use in the classroom. But I'm anxious to see kind of like next year, excited to see next year and the year after when we kind of, quote unquote, trained the sixth graders. The seventh and eighth graders are not used to it, but now the sixth graders are. And then like when they become eighth graders, that there's just like not, hopefully not going to be any of that. And it's not going to be a fight or struggle as much as it was in the past.
Right. And not only less discipline, but probably more conversations and.
Correct.
Nothing wrong with that. So what has been the most challenging aspect of digital devices and social media for your students? Like what struggles do you see in your classroom? You mentioned cheating. What else do you see in your classroom?
So, yeah, like you said, there's like the no cell phone policy, where it can't be visible. It can be visible, sorry, before or after school and during lunch, but there is zero social media at any time. So you won't see that kid in the hallway, which we have seen in the past, making a TikTok video with their friend, like just in passing time or whatever. So yeah, that has helped a lot, but we still are one-to-one with Chromebooks. So like for that, I would say like being responsible, like just having that responsibility of like knowing that they need to have it with them. They have to have it charged, taking care of it to not like break it. We have kids with social emotional situations where when they get upset, like they will take that out on their Chromebook and, you know, they're breaking it purposely just in that frustration. It can also be a distraction, the Chromebooks as well, especially when it's not being used the right way. So just having that self-control to not misuse it while they should be learning. And then just addictive situations. You have those kids that like they are on the same, every time you look at their screen, that same game is pulled up, or they are walking with it open in the hallway on the way to lunch to play that game and then running into someone, or just that kind of situation.
It sounds like you all have a really good handle on the devices. I love the no device policy in the classroom.
Yes.
And I like that you brought up the social emotional aspect of it, which I think plays a big part in all of this. Mm-hmm. Not even just social media, but just in general. I'm so happy that that topic is kind of risen to the top. But mm-hmm. being a sixth grade teacher, just being in middle school, do all students come in with digital devices? I know there's no classroom policy, but do you just see that the trend right. is all students have a cell phone these days?
Yeah. So I would say that most of my 90 to 100 sixth graders have a device coming into sixth grade. You'll hear of the few that got it over winter break for a present or things like that. And then you do have those that do not have one and probably won't through sixth grade, but it's definitely more rare. And then a lot of times those kids, like you'll still see like some type of smartwatch or something else that to take the place of that. And then they all do have the school issued Chromebooks.
From your experience, what are some of the impacts of personal digital devices being in the classroom? So your school has the no device policy in the classroom. In the past, were there ways that they integrated them into their school day?
Yes, there would be some teachers. So teachers kind of had their own policies, I guess, you know, per classroom. And teachers would have them use them to do like a QR code, you know, hunt or something in, around the hallways, or everyone get onto the screen, like you can answer questions or something like that. They could log in with their phone rather than logging in with their Chromebook if it was dead or whatever. So, and teachers had different kind of rules with that. I kind of kept it to just a zero because in you give them an inch, they take a mile type of situation. But yes, teachers did have them do things like that using their phones for if they had them, they could use their Chromebook instead if they didn't. But yeah, I have seen it in the past. Yes.
Right. Well, and like you said, with the Chromebooks, you have to make sure they're using it appropriately and don't have other tabs open playing
Correct.
Games and
Not- gaming
probably sure. even harder for them to do when they're on their personal device with their social media and texts and things like that.
So. And they're roaming the hallways looking for those QR codes, but maybe not focused the whole time.
Right. Absolutely. As we all know, monitoring your students can be challenging. How do you approach the subject of digital monitoring, and what are some of the benefits and challenges you have faced?
Yes. So we have used Securely in our district for since I've been there. This is my seventh year in the middle school. And at first it was just like I'm suspecting the student is off task just by there's certain tells you can look for. And you could then email to get like the log of like on this day at this time, what was the student doing and kind of see where they were at. Were they on task or were they on a game or were they searching whatever on YouTube, things like that. Now we actually, last year, I believe it was, got screen monitoring through Securely, which is where I can actually have my full class of students' screens kind of up on my screen and just making sure they're doing the right thing. So I think that that is beneficial, but I know you also kind of said, like, what are some challenges with that? And I feel like it's kind of letting the kids know, like, they know that they're being watched. That's why they're doing the right thing. But you want kids to do the right thing even when they're not being watched. And I feel like that's something that can be like needs to be learned and can be learned through school. And so having that, while I like having that screen monitoring I also don't feel like it's teaching them to do the right thing when they're not being watched, if that makes sense. So there's some that, like, there needs to be a balance of that, and it can be a challenge.
Right. That it provides the accountability, but like you said, you still need to teach the students the right thing to do and hope that they're doing it because it's what they should be doing and not just because they're being watched.
Correct. Not because they're being watched. Yeah. Correct.
And it's a great resource. So do you have any tools or strategies, resources that you use to better equip students to be good digital citizens and reduce media misuse aside from the zero tolerance? Are there any programs in place at your school?
We do use Second Steps, which I think does teach some digital media thing. It teaches bullying and does, like, through the bullying unit, does teach some with cyberbullying, just being a good citizen in general and things like that. So it's called Second Steps, and we use it through all three grades, and they even use it in our elementary as well, for sure. I'm not sure of the high school, but so through that there is. I think that's the only thing, like, in place at school that we use.
Oh, very cool.
Sounds like not only does the district have great things set up, but you are doing great things in your classroom to ensure students, sixth graders, are on track and they're there to learn, yeah. And learn to be good people. And I love that you have those things in place. Out of all the things you shared, what would be your biggest piece of advice that you would share with other educators when it comes to supporting these students and making sure they're being good digital citizens?
Sure. So I just feel like setting a good example, and that is just, like, through most things in life. As an adult, we kind of can set that example for them. And then educating them, being honest with them. I think having consequences in place is important, just that they know that, like, when I misuse this, when I do this, like, not only are there natural consequences in place, but perhaps there's other consequences as well in terms of being at school. And then I also really like to share an example of, even though I'm so old in their eyes, that I actually was cyberbullied when I was their age. And I share that story, or a little older than them. I share that story and I share what I did and how I handled it and how, like, just the outcome of it. And I think that that just helps them connect to, like, hey, this has been going on forever. Like, they're not alone, just things like that. And then talk about the importance of trust as well. You said one thing.
No, you're good. And I like that
that's
empathy.
That's a few things.
And the empathy piece, like, you are not only telling people who might have dealt with that, that you've experienced it, but, like, letting people who are doing it know how it impacts people and really seeing that as an adult, you still remember that.
Yep.
And you said consequences. I really like them to be held to consequences. But with that said, how does that extend to parents from your perspective, and how big of a role do you feel parents play in this?
I think monitoring students' social media use. I was talking about TikTok in class the other day, something I saw on TikTok, and they're like, "You have TikTok?" And I was like, "Yeah, guys, like, I'm old enough to." And they're like, "We are too." And I'm like, "I really don't think you are." And I went home and looked it up, and I'm pretty sure the age is 13. And my sixth graders are not that age. And they were all like, "We have TikTok." So just in terms of, like, monitoring your child's social media use, their texts, their everything. I just feel like if parents knew half the things these kids were coming to school talking about, you know, that would be really helpful, that hopefully they would not allow their kid to do that if they knew it was happening. So I think that parents do play a huge role in that, not that it's the school's job to, but that we can hopefully educate parents just as much as we can educate the kids, and just try to help with this situation that we have on our hands with all this that's happening with the social media and things.
Yes. Yeah. Love that. And building that bridge and passing along resources and tools. I absolutely love that.
Correct. Yes.
So, Casey, if you were to take a break from social media for a few days, give us a book recommendation. Yes. What would you be reading?
So in terms of my job, where I teach math, and it is my favorite subject, yes, Joe Boulder is huge in the math, educational math world. He has a book called Mathematical Mindsets. That's just a huge recommendation I would have in terms of, like, how to use math in the classroom, the different ways that kids think about things. It's just really cool to see a lot of the things that she talks about and be able to, you know, do that with your students if you're lucky enough to teach math like I do to the wonderful children.
Yeah, and our minds are very different. Math is hard. I'm happy that it works for you.
Well, I'm going to have to check that out. I feel the same. Cool. I love math. It's my favorite, but I sometimes feel like it's the hardest to teach, because when students don't get it, you're like, I don't understand why you don't get it.
Yes, that is correct. And they also, in sixth grade especially, come in with just like a, I'm bad at math. Yeah. I'm not good at it. I don't understand it. I never will. Like all these things.
Yes, I'm sure that mindset book probably helps a lot.
For sure.
Casey, thank you so very much for being with us.
You're welcome.
It's really interesting to hear a middle school perspective, and you shared some good tools and good advice.
Thanks for having me.
All right, thank you, Casey. Good rest of your week. Thanks, Case.
Bye.
See ya. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Hey, Nick, ask and you shall receive. When you ask a frontline teacher, an educator to come on and share their perspective, they're going to bring the heat. And Casey brought the heat.
She absolutely did. When she shared about her real life bullying experience with cyberbullying, I think that is so powerful to the people who might be considering using their digital devices in inappropriate ways and to those that have experienced it, because I think sometimes you can feel like you're the only one in those situations.
Yeah, it resonates. It rings true, it rings through loud. And I would imagine they look up to her, and hearing that story is something that they can look at as a real world experience, a real world scenario. And so I think that has just a huge impact on them.
Yes. And someone to talk to if they're going through that. They know that she's experienced it.
A trusted voice. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely right. I really like she brought up the no tolerance policy and that they've implemented that in their school. It sounds like it's been based off what she said, how they have reduced disciplinary action from social media or digital devices. That's encouraging.
Yes, I feel like the electronic policy in schools and middle schools is becoming more of a trend. And I would love to talk to her again next year and see kind of where that has gone. But it seems like it could have so many benefits. Middle school is different than elementary school, but she mentioned most of her students have cell phones. As a fourth grade teacher, I would say over half of my class already has them. They are usually in their backpacks, but you know, you hear alerts sometimes throughout the day, or they have watches on. I've had parents contact me and say, so-and-so messaged me and said they didn't feel good. I'm going to come pick her up. And I had no idea that even happened. So I think, you know, taking that away and telling students, talk to me if there's an issue and we can reach out to families, is better than them sneaking to use their device to contact people or to use their devices when they're not supposed to be.
So true. And even though with all of that in place, they still have their Chromebooks.
Yes, they do.
And there's still Chromebook misuse. So I'm going to throw this over to you as an educator, because I saw you nodding along when Casey was sharing some of those unique stories. I think you felt that a little bit.
I felt that a lot. Not only just opening the other tabs, we don't have anything at our school that allows us to see what the students are doing. And I think Casey mentioned you really have to teach them and trust that they're doing the right thing. That's more important. But so many kids. And we have Chromebook contracts that we have the students fill out at the beginning of the year, and they can be taken away. But it's almost like, for some students, she mentioned this too, like an addiction. Like, they want to do everything on electronics. That's their world. And when they're told that they have to shut it or put it away, that can lead to being angry or upset, and students slam them down or even hit them or throw them because they're so upset. And we really try at our district to use them, but to also make sure we're using other tools as well, because they can be misused.
Yeah. Well, in effort to have no tolerance policies in place and reduce Chromebook misuse, there's still going to be disciplinary action. What are your thoughts, and what do you experience as an educator from a discipline perspective based on some of the things that Casey shared?
Casey mentioned that some of the things that happen outside of school, which if they have the cell phone ban is probably when more of those things are happening. It's hard. You know, you're trying to teach math or reading or writing, and you have students that aren't able to focus on what they're supposed to be learning because somebody did something or said something. She talked about, you know, people creating those anonymous accounts and kind of ganging up on a person. But it takes away from their learning. It gets a lot of people involved, whether it's counselors, administrators, parents. And, you know, we want to teach them to be good people, but they're at school to learn. So it kind of takes away from that. And I have a crazy story. I heard about some students doing what's called chip or dip, where they were, you know, kind of pairing up couples of students and even teachers and posting them on TikTok. And so that was very eye-opening to me to see that some of these things are happening on social media that parents or teachers might not even know about. And that could definitely be impacting their learning or even their friendships with other people.
Okay. I'm going to show my age here. Can
yep.
What's ship or dip?
Oh, yes. So I had to do a little research myself. ship is if you think two people are cute together, or dip if you don't think they're cute together. So they would put a picture of two people on it and people would comment whether they wanted to ship or dip the couple.
And they put two educators on?
Yes. Some were students, some were educators, but it just hurt my heart a little bit that, you know, people's pictures could be thrown up on something like that and they not even know about it.
Wow. Yeah, that's and that's happening at elementary school.
Absolutely.
Okay. Noted. Speaking of that happening in elementary school, something that we've heard loud and clear through the interviews that we've conducted so far is parent involvement. It needs to be there. It needs to be a big part of these children's lives when it comes to social media and digital devices. I think Casey spoke pretty well to that, but I also thought she said some things that were somewhat alarming.
I mean, the fact that almost every middle school student has a cell phone and that there are anonymous accounts, it would be nearly impossible for parents to know everything that's happening on their child's device. And I know parents do the best they can to make sure they're checking in on their children and their accounts and their messages and their apps. Sometimes kids know more than adults do about technology and can kind of be a little sneaky. So I think it was very alarming that, you know, the things that people are saying or doing on their phones that parents might not even know about. So just kind of ties back in as a parent to me that importance of, you know, having those conversations with my own personal kids and being involved in what they're doing on technology.
Yeah. Anonymous accounts is a huge issue, I think, really at every level with digital devices. But I really like her book recommendation. And I probably need to look into that because math is hard. And I'm still thinking about those cookies on TikTok.
Yes. I have to do a little research.
Well, Nick, I appreciate your time as always. Casey was such a great guest. And I expect that there's some things that a lot of people are going to take away from this conversation.
Yes, I agree.
All right.
And remember, in the midst of chaos, there's always a way to find clarity. Have a great day.
Bye.
We are growing and would love your feedback. Please rate us and share your thoughts or any topics you would be interested in us covering in the future. Are you or someone you know interested in being a guest on the podcast? Visit us at chaoticdigitalworld.com.
One way to help support the show is by adding a new resource to your library. Order a copy of A Parent's Guide, Keeping Your Children Safe in a Chaotic Digital World today on Amazon. Follow us on all social media platforms, and don't forget to subscribe to keep updated with new episodes and bonus content. As always, thank you for listening. This episode of Chaotic Digital World is brought to you in part by Next Steps, Inc. Next Steps, a software created for schools or organizations to transform the way we think about attendance management. Did you know? When an institution or organization uses 5 minutes per day for 6 sessions, that's equivalent to 15 wasted hours per month. And if there's an emergency evacuation, emergency personnel have to go in and search for those who may be hiding. We've solved those problems and more. At Next Steps, you can say goodbye to manual attendance and hello to efficiency and productivity. Our software automates the entire process, saving you time and resources. Visit us on our website at next-stepsinc.com to book a demo and learn more. We're waiting to speak with you.